Take your Bibles. Let's go to 1 John tonight. We're going to talk about your joy being full. 1 John chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, and that's speaking of the beginning of the church, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life, or the word regarding life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and we bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you may have fellowship with us. Fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be what? Full. Boy, phenomenal revelation right there. John and the others had seen and heard the manifestations of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost, because they had received the gift of Holy Spirit. They had that eternal life, and that life which had been made manifest to them, they knew for a certainty because they'd spoken in tongues. We have a relationship with God as His sons. It's by birth. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is what? It's spirit. We've passed from death unto life. We will never again come into condemnation. And that's just the beginning. It must have been amazing to have been there on Pentecost and have the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that Jesus Christ poured out to them, the promise of the Father that day. These people in 1 John were young believers for the most part. There were also fathers and young men, but for the most part, they were just immature young believers. And John wrote this to them to give them confidence in God and in what they had received. These things write we unto you, it says in verse 4, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light most of the time. No, it doesn't say that. It says that God is light. God is light, and in him is what? No darkness at all. None. So where there's darkness, it doesn't come from God. It comes from another source. Verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him, and fellowship is koinonia, is the Greek word, and it means a close relationship. It involves association. We're God's sons. That never changes. It's incorruptible seed. You cannot lose that birth any more than you can lose your natural birth. Fellowship is the relationship that we have in our walk with God. Our sonship never changes. Our fellowship depends on our confidence in our Father. If we want to have full joy, we want to walk in the good pleasure of His will. If we have fellowship, it says in verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we say we have fellowship and at the same time we're walking in darkness, which is not God's word. It doesn't come from God. then we're not practicing the truth in our walk. And don't kid yourself. I know we're perfect in the birth. We're perfect spiritually. We're justified. We have remission of sins. We're redeemed. We're sanctified. All of those things are true. Everything that Jesus Christ accomplished is ours in Christ. All of it. He freely gives us all things. God freely gives us all things with His Son. So that is a reality, and that never changes. What does change is if we choose to walk by our old nature ways, we lose the joy. We lose the peace. We lose the confidence that fellowship brings. Look at verse 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. We need to repunctuate this verse a little bit. It says, but if we walk in the light as He is, put your comma there. Scratch the first comma after light and put it after is. If we walk in the light as He is, comma, then in the light we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin, every last one of them. That makes more sense if you put the comma there after is. Take a look at Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 5 said that God is light, rather than being in the light. The phrase as He is in verse 7 refers to God who is light. So a comma ought to follow the phrase as He is, separating it from the conclusion, namely, in the light we have fellowship. If you look at Ephesians 5, verse 8, it says, for you were sometimes darkness, but now you're what? You're light in the Lord. Walk as what? Children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit, or light, is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it's a shame even to speak of those things which were done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. And God's word is that light. Wherefore He saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall what? Give thee light. God is light. Christ is light. His word is light. So we want to walk in the light as He is. Then we have fellowship one with another. That's when there's fullness of joy. That's when there's just quiet seas and peace of heart. That's when we have confidence in God when we pray. That fellowship is what makes those realities live for us. Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. We're misled. And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, which disrupt the relationship, He is faithful and He is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, this is not talking about the new birth. This is talking about in our walk with God. None of us are perfect. I think you know that, right? I've already blown it before breakfast. But God is faithful and he's just and he's wonderful. Look at Acts 2. Acts chapter 2. When we were saved and redeemed, born again of God's Spirit, look at 2:38. Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of or from the Holy Spirit. Remission of sins was given to us. There's nothing about confessing your sins to be saved here, is there? Look in Romans 3. Romans chapter 3. It says in verse 22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there's no difference, speaking of Jew and Gentile. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we were in a real mess. We not only had all of us sinned, we were dead in sin, without God and without hope. Verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for what? The remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Where's the confession of sins? It's not in there. Take a look at Ephesians chapter 1. We're to confess Jesus as Lord and believe God raised him from the dead, it says in Romans 10:9. Then we're saved. In Ephesians 1, verse 7, it says, in whom, speaking of Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the what? Forgiveness of sins. What's the standard? According to the riches of his grace. And 8, the first part of the verse ought to be included in this verse, wherein he hath abounded toward us. And put a period right there. Read it again. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us. Now we're justified. Now we have remission of sins as sons of God. Look at John 5. This is talking about salvation and the new birth. The moment we are saved, we have remission of sins. The slate is wiped clean. In chapter 5 of John, verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me, that's God his Father, hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto what? Death unto life. And I think you all know Romans 8:1, right? There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And that's talking about down judgment from God. There's no more judgment from God in the new birth. No more condemnation. You're righteous, justified, sanctified, redeemed. Now you and the Father are members of the same household. He's your father, you're his child. Our joy ought to be full. The Lord Jesus Christ is our brother, and he's made peace for us, and he's given us peace. And we can walk in that rest and that knowing awareness of his presence, his love, because he's light. And there's no darkness in him. His intentions are all good towards us. That's right. He doesn't make you sick to humble you. He doesn't lay condemnation on you. He doesn't rub your nose in your sins. No, he's faithful and just to forgive us. He's just as good in the walk. Verse 7 again. If we walk in the light as he is, comma, then in the light we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, Christ is not in the text, his son cleanses us from every sin. Isn't that wonderful? You can't screw up the relationship so bad that you lose the birth. Even if we screw it up in our walks and we don't do the good pleasure of his will, there's still forgiveness for us. That's right. Let me ask you a question. What more can be paid for your sin than what Jesus Christ offered, his life? There's no more payment. The whole deal with broken fellowship and confessing your sin, it's about a confidence in your relationship with him. It's just like between people. If I do something and I know it's wrong and I hurt you, I can't look you in the eye, I feel bad around you, I don't have a lot of confidence between us. You understand the difference. It's the same with God. All we have to do with him is just confess our broken fellowship and he forgives us. He cleanses us from all sin. Cleanses. If we say we have no sin, verse 8, well, we're misleading ourselves. And the truth isn't in our heads. That's right. If we just confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. And this is an idiomatic sense of the word to make here. And it means it makes him appear to be a liar. If we say we have not sinned, then we make him appear to be a liar. And his word isn't in our heads. We're not renewing our minds. So we got to remember God is light. And before we were saved, take a look over at Ephesians chapter 2. Because this is going to come up later on. Ephesians 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. We were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, our manner of living, in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we were by what? Nature, the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, or made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you are saved. So we're no longer dead in sins. Now we're alive unto God because we've received that eternal life spirit that he talked about in the first verses of the chapter. Now, if we continue to walk in the reality of our sonship, then we will have fullness of joy. That's right. We'll have peace. Our sleep will be sweet. God will lead and guide us because we'll be in tune with Him. We will hear His voice and recognize Him. That's right. We will have confidence in Him. So that's enough on that. My little children, 2:1. 1 John 2:1. My little children, and again, this is not talking about little diapered people running around. This is talking about young believers, young disciples. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have a what? An advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. The word is parakletos. It's in the Gospels, it's translated comforter in relationship with the giving of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ was an advocate or an intercessor who accomplished justification for all of us and who speaks on our behalf. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He pleads our cause. He's our intercessor. Verse 2, and He is the propitiation for our sins. Propitiation is the word hilismos, or atonement. Atonement. The Greek is spelled H-I-L-A-S-M-O-S. It means atonement, as that which is done to pay the penalty for someone's sins and to make amends. Look in Romans 3. I read it to you earlier, but the word is there also. Romans 3, verse 25. It says, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. See that? Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation, an atonement. Look at Hebrews chapter 9. This is the noun form, so was Romans. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 5. The Holy Ghost thus testifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle is not yet. 9. What did I say? Hebrews 9, verse 5. Oh, and over it, the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. The mercy seat there, the helistron. That's where the blood of the sacrifice was laid before God, on the mercy seat. Jesus Christ is that mercy seat. He is our advocate. And He has made the atonement. So He gave His life for us so that we could know the Father, have that eternal life, have the peace of God, have confidence in God, and be full of joy. He's the propitiation. He took us from death unto life. He's made the atonement. He's our advocate. Verse 2 again. And He, Jesus Christ the righteous, is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Now, I thought Christ was the end of the law, it said in Romans 10:4, huh? This isn't speaking of the old covenant law with the Ten Commandments and all the other laws that pertain to it. This is speaking of the laws of the new covenant, which was to be in the hearts and the minds of those who received the Spirit. It speaks about it in Hebrews 8:10, and if you look back in Jeremiah 31:33, where it was first prophesied. We're going to see that there are two commandments that come up in John chapter 3. Let's turn over there. John 3, verse 23. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And this comes up throughout this epistle. That's the commandments that he's concerned about in the new covenant that we're to keep. Hereby we do know him if we keep his commandments. So we believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and we love one another as he gave us commandment. If you'll go back to the Gospel of John, look at that. The Gospel of John, chapter 13. Chapter 13, and we'll pick it up in verse 33. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. See, he calls them little children there again. It's not talking about being diapered up. He's talking about younger disciples. You shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And this shall all men know, that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. We're to love as Christ loved. Think of that. Well, to do that, you'd have to get born again, because the loved here is agape love. It's the love of God that comes with the new birth. And we want to manifest it. So, hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Look at chapter 15 of John. Look at verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue you in my love. For if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be what? Full. Look at that. That's God's heart. That's his Son's heart. He wants us to be full of joy. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Boy, and he loved to the furthest extent possible, didn't he? You can read that he washed their feet, and they were to serve one another. It's not the least thing they should hold back on in their service to one another. That you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You're my friends if you do whatsoever, or the things that I command you. Henceforth, I called you not servants, for the servant knows not what his Lord does. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Boy, that's the walk, isn't it? It sure is. We're to keep his commandments. And his commandments are to believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave his commandment. They pertain to the new covenant of the Spirit, those commandments. Verse 4, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him, not in his head. Verse 5, but whoso keeps his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abides in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Look at that. How are we to walk? If we're to abide in him, it's associated with walking as Jesus Christ walked. Wow, that's a pretty high standard, isn't it? And how did he walk? He always did his Father's will. He showed God's compassion, his love, his heart. If you had seen Jesus Christ, you'd seen the Father, because he was the spitting image of him, we'd say down here. He always did his will. He declared his Father. He made him known. Well, we ought to walk like he did so people can see the living God today. We ought to love like he loved. We ought to forgive like he forgave. We ought to speak the truth in love as he did. Verse 7, brethren, I'd like to speak to you. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you've heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past. We've been delivered from the darkness. Oh, I got to show you this while we're here. Go to Philippians. We no longer walk in that path of darkness. I'm sorry, Colossians chapter 1. It says in verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear or beloved Son. Same words translated both ways. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Look at that. We've been delivered from the power of darkness. Who would want to walk in it? God. I remember those days. They were not good memories. We've been delivered from the power of darkness, and we've been translated or transferred into the kingdom of God's beloved Son. Boy. Verse 5. Back in 1 John 2, verse 5. Whoso keeps his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we're in him. He that says that he abides in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. We've been delivered from that darkness, so we can walk as Christ walked. That's right. Take a look at, while you're just were there, I think. Philippians must be. Philippians. Yeah, Philippians chapter 2. It says in verse 5, Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We ought to think the word like he thought. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Think in the same manner that he thought. He always wanted to do his Father's will, the good pleasure of his Father's will. He always ministered deliverance. He was always loving and kind and compassionate. Like I said, if you'd seen him, you'd seen the Father. Verse 6, he that abides in him ought also so to walk even as he walked. I'm back in 1 John chapter 2, sorry. Okay. Verse 7, brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. That's talking about the beginning of the church age. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shines. He that saith, verse 9, he that saith he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness even until now. You can't do both, can you? He that loves his brother abides in the light, and there's none occasion of stumbling in him. Verse 11, but he that hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and knows not whither he goes, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. You're in the dark, you can't see, can you? No. So we don't want to hate our brother. I write unto you, little children, verse 12, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Verse 13, I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away in the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever. If we've confessed Jesus Christ as Lord and believe God raised him from the dead, we've done the will of God. Then in our walks with him and our fellowship with him, we want to do the good pleasure of his will also. We want to walk in love. Verse 18, little children, it's the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist should come, even now are there many Antichrist, whereby we know that it's the last time. Antichrist are those that deny the Lord Jesus Christ that has come in the flesh. They deny the revelation of God's word. Verse 19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. So far in the epistle, by revelation, John has addressed these young believers, the fathers and the young men, and advised them to regard their fellowship with the Father and His Son Jesus Christ, their Lord. And they were to walk in the light, walking as Jesus Christ walked. And if they sinned in their walk and that fellowship was disturbed, then they were to be aware of what Jesus Christ had accomplished for them so that they could abide in Him. I was reading today in Fellowship is the Secret, and Dr. Wirral says, to say as sons that we are unworthy or unfit, or to not forgive ourselves when God has forgiven us, to constantly confess our weakness and inability, to deny our perfect righteousness in Him, is to deny God, His Word, and His power. Many believers are denying what they received when they believed, and thus they're critically limiting the ability of God in themselves. This is one of the major tricks Satan tries to work in every believer. Boy, oh boy, if we would just get to the place that we would believe what God says about us more than how we feel about ourselves, what our past experiences have been, what other people think about us, boy, you've got to live in your own skin. And the only way that I know to do that with success is to believe the word about yourself. That's the key to your fellowship. You've got to bring your mind and get it to agree with what God says. That's the whole key. You can read this whole epistle. It compares, well, go to chapter 3, verse 1. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And the Greek adds, and so we are, right now, today. Not when you die, not when Christ returns, right now, today. Behold what manner of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God, and so we are. And because of this, the world doesn't know us because it didn't know Him. Beloved, now are we the what? The sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Wow! How good is that? Then the rest of the chapter goes on to contrast those who are born with God and those who are not born of God, who are of the slandering devil. And it goes back and forth and back and forth. And it shows the difference between two extremes dealt with in this epistle. The one extreme is represented by those who are born of God, who are children of God, with seed born within them, who make a practice of walking with God according to His Word, who abide in God and His Son Jesus Christ. And the other extreme is represented by those who practice what they are. They're dead in trespasses and sins. They're of the adversary's kingdom. They walk in this world like lawless morons, just like we used to. We can have the peace and the confidence and the love with God as we walk with Him. We've got all those resources going for us. Look at the, let me see, I think it's the end of chapter 3. Hold on here a second. Yeah, First John 3, if after he gets to the place he's finished contrasting these, the two, whether you've got God's spirit or the adversary, one of his children of disobedience. Verse 16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. There's the love again. But whoso hath this world's good, and sees his brother have need, and shuts up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwells the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, just talk, but in deed and in truth. And hereby know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. That's the benefit of fellowship. It's the full assurance of believing. We can persuade ourselves with God's word who we are in Christ. That's how we assure our hearts before him. That's got to have precedence over our past when we walked in darkness as children of disobedience and children of wrath. Now we're children of the light. We're God's kids. Verse 19, and hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure, we persuade our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God's greater than our heart, and he knows how screwed up we are. He knows all things. Beloved, verse 21, if our heart condemn us not, and this is not the same word in Romans 8:1. This is katagnosko. This is to have knowledge against you, knowledge to your disadvantage. You know too much about your sins and your shortcomings and your failures. It's the old nature. Look, you're always stuck with it, but you're free from it. Renew your mind to who you are in Christ. That's it. Persuade yourself with his word who you are in Christ. And if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence towards God? And that's the benefit of that fellowship. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are what? Pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son Jesus Christ and love one another as he gave us commandment. He that keeps his commandments, and he just gave them, these are the new covenant commandments, dwelleth in him and he in him, and hereby know that he abides in us by the Spirit which he has given us. Because you can manifest it. You can speak in tongues. That's right. You can speak directly to your Heavenly Father. God's Spirit can speak to your inner being. And you have the proof of your sonship, that you're an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. Go over to chapter 5. Just running out of time. Verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments, they're not grievous, oppressive, weighty. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And what's that faith or believing to be in it? Who is he that overcomes the world but he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Look at that. Who is he that overcomes the world but he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Boy. Look down at verse 13. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He who has not the Son of God hath not life. And that's eternal life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. The rest of the verse is not in the text. Read it again. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the what? Confidence that we have in him, God our Father. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. It says it in the Gospels. It says it in the epistles. It says it here. If any man see his brother sin, a sin which is not unto death, that's speaking of somebody who's not born again. They're still dead in trespasses and sins. If they reject the Lord Jesus Christ, they don't believe in God as Father, well, they can sin unto death. But we can't. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that you shall pray for it. That's right. Verse 17, all unrighteousness is sin. And there is a sin not unto death. That's broken fellowship. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. In other words, they don't make a practice of the old nature sin over and over and over at it. We don't become experts at it. We know that whosoever is born of God, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keeps himself, and that wicked one touches him not. He cannot touch him. That's how it should read. He who is born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one cannot touch him. And we know, verse 19, that we are of God, and the whole world lies in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves or guard yourselves from idols. Amen. So that's a little bit of 1 John. We have the sonship. Nothing can undo it. Enjoy the fellowship and have fullness of joy. Have confidence in your Father. Have the peace of God ruling your hearts. And just live that way. Always try to walk in the good pleasure of his will and believe the word about yourself, because now you're a son of God. Father, thank you for your goodness, your great grace and love, and for just the sweet fellowship we have with you and with one another tonight. Thank you for watching over your people this week, for healing their bodies, for prospering them, for just putting a hedge about them that nothing can hurt them. Thank you for your goodness and your great love to us through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Have a wonderful week. I love you.